about that.
So give a plug to Zach Bush's product Restore real quick, and you know, for helping seal the leaky gut that comes from the glyphosate or the Roundup.
That's right.
Yeah.
Also colostrum, right, Doc? Give a plug for that.
Give a plug for colostrum.
You know, it's interesting. Yesterday, Andrew Goss, who listens to the commercials during the show, so he's always trying different stuff. Not always, but he's like a self. He loves a selfie. He just buys it 9 at a time. He it gives him energy, like, and he's got half his staff on it. Anyway, and so he said yesterday live on the air, I didn't even know he did this, that he started taking colostrum about 3 weeks ago. And that for the first time in many, many, many years, he wakes up and his stomach is quiet. It's not burning. It's happy. And he can't, you know, he's just amazed with colostrum. So, so I'm wondering, though, I thought colostrum was more small intestine, large intestine modality. So it must maybe work backwards, where those things get more straightened out, and then just the whole system works better. Could that explain why the stomach feels better?
Well, they're certainly connected.
Yeah, you know, I don't know exactly how to explain that.
Yeah, but, how do you explain that?
Yeah, that is wow.
I know.
Congratulations.
Pretty amazing. So I conjectured to him on the air yesterday. I said, well, as everything happens, and maybe you had some. Who knows, leaky gut things going on, and then things work better, and it just kind of works backwards as well as forwards. I'm just theorizing. I don't know, you know.
I know.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
But if it's working, man, keep doing it. Okay.
Yes.
If you'd like to try some colostrum, you can go to Sithrival and get some from our website. So let's get back to the itchy anus. Kay, itchy anus, what would you do? Itchy anus.
Okay. It's typically has to do with some type of a parasitic issue.
Yeah, that's what says, that's what the Ayurvedic people say, Meridian.
Yeah, especially if the nose is itchy also, or you find yourself rubbing your nose.
Right, right.
You know, and you also have the itching in the anus. And if there's irritability on top of it, boy, we're really talking about three of the primary symptoms of a parasite. So you might want to take a look at that. There's also a cleanliness issue. I mean, you want to really make sure that you're clean. And one of the things that Natasha Campbell McBride recommends is that you use homemade, really strong kefir or yogurt, and you apply that to the rectal area. But it's actually good to go from the perineum all the way to the rectum, that whole area, especially for women, getting the good probiotics from the kefir, the natural source, into that tissue is a wonderful thing, and it typically will take care of the burning.
Oh, topically. So you actually do it topically.
Yeah. So you keep a little by the shower. When you get done with the shower, you just, you know, take a little handful and, you know, place it from the pubic bone all the way back to the rectum. And it's really helpful.
Oh, pretty cool.
And you can even, you know, take a little cotton pad of it and, you know, you can keep it there on your underwear. That's great. And it might actually cure it much faster.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very effective. And we use it for baby rashes. And we use it to help women to prevent them during their pregnancies from getting bacterial infections that could cause them to have to take antibiotics during the birth. So it works.
Wow.
It's been used in Russia for thousands of years.
Lynn writes in, who takes notes, and she works with us. She said, you guys were talking about the Tuskegee syphilis experiment. That's right. Tuskegee, that's the word we were looking for, Doc.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Something to say about the anus?
Well, you know, the anus is, a lot of animals mark their territory by rubbing their anus where they want to mark their territory. And so sometimes itching means that I'm not allowed to mark my territory. I feel a separation from my own identity, that I can't mark who I am. And so the case that's in the Recall Healing book is that a woman is suffering from this anal pruritus, and she doesn't carry the name of her father because she was born out of wedlock and the church won't let her carry her father's name. It's like she can't carry her real identity. And so the way her body expresses that is she has this itching in her anus, the part that would mark her territory as being the daughter of her father. So you want to look for things that have to do with the person's identity and issues with identity.
Lynn, yeah, that's cool. Also, animals, having dogs for all my life, one of the classic signs for, again, what Meridian said, parasites, is that the dogs will sometime drag their butt too because it's itchy.
Yes.
Yeah, it's itchy. And if you somebody doing that at Whole Foods, I would just go to the other aisle because you don't want to do that at the store. Look, there's an itchy butt. Oh. My Megatron Hunter scan. What is that? Megatron Hunter scan. Have you ever heard of that?
Nope.
I never heard of that one either. I want one. Showed low phosphate. Other minerals didn't help, but bioplasma and number two, Calfost did.
Calfost.
Huh. All right.
Pretty cool. Huh. My husband took antibiotics for an infected tooth and now has black tongue. Whoops. What can be done for that? The tongue turned black.
You know, it's so interesting. I was just listening to a dentist talk about how you can create black, hairy tongue by using antibacterial things in your mouth.
Huh?
In particular, hydrogen peroxide washes. He said you'll get black, hairy tongue from it. And he has this toothpaste called Revitin, which actually helps to restore the natural bacteria combination. So he's saying that what you've done is you've hurt too many bacteria in the mouth. You've actually killed them. And you need to give them a chance to grow back. And you want to support that with some really good natural things for the for the mouth.
In Ayurveda and Chinese medicine, they simply say what I've read over the years, that black tongue is really just a detoxification process. And it'll, you know, just chill. It'll go out. It'll go away because it's just something coming out. So, yeah.
You'll see it with a water fast, too.
Uh-huh. You get a black tongue.
That you're done with your water fast when all of the different films go away. When your white or yellow or black or brown film goes away from the mouth and your mouth starts to smell sweet again, that you're done with your water fast.
Oh, yeah, like when your tongue clears. Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's about the only thing I've heard today that made sense, but you know, that one does. No, I'm just kidding. If you guys have time, would you ask Dr. Madison and Meridian what they know about vertigo? Vertigo.
Well, the first thing I could say about vertigo, having suffered it myself from time to time, is that for me, it had to do with my atlas.
Your atlas? Okay.
Atlas.
Mm-hmm.
I lifted something the wrong way, and within a few hours, I had vertigo. And I've had it return about three or four different times. And I work with a NUCA type of a chiropractor whose focus is all, you know, right up there in the atlas axis area of the body. And she just put it right back in and my vertigo was completely gone. And every once in a blue moon, I would do something that would pull it out. And then for some reason, I started getting vertigo like once a month for a couple of days, and my lasers have really helped when I put it on the atlas. My lasers seem to take it away. So I have a type of a combination laser pad that has, I don't know, probably 150 different, it's not lasers, but LEDs in the pads that's used a lot in cancer clinics for wound healing and for cancer. I place it underneath my neck for a 20-minute treatment, and my vertigo is gone.
Huh.
But there's a lot of emotional reasons about vertigo as well. So I would look into the atlas aspect of things, and there's so many homeopathic remedies for vertigo. You'd have to really get the symptoms to try and look for a remedy for vertigo. But I'm sure Rich has something to say about it too, because it'll, you know, you're just out of touch with your with the world around you, you're spinning.
Yeah, you definitely want to, on a physical level, get your ears checked if you think there's something going on there. And vertigo in general is produced by our own brain to make us stay where we are.
Yeah, you can't go anywhere, that's for sure.
That's the whole beauty and the wisdom of it. And so we look for the story that's about who would have saved the family a lot of suffering if they had stayed put.
Ah, that's cool. Yeah. Yeah. Steve writes in that many people have said that you're talking about the tissue in the colon, that silver, also with the aloe, helps to help heal colon as well. The silver. Oh, never thought of the silver was doing that, but that'd be cool.
Now, we have been playing a little bit with doing using an IV bag of silver, and instead of putting it in the vein, doing it as an enema, a very slow drip enema over an hour's period of time. But it's the jury's out on that one, where Rich has gotten some strange sensations, cold and shivers and
things. Well, a lot of people though get good effects from it.
Yeah, they do. So I don't know what to say, but it looks like it's been real beneficial for a lot of folks. And I'm not sure the mechanism why exactly, because I don't want to think of it so much as a killer, maybe as providing an environment that the gut really likes. But.
Meridian and Dr. Massey, what are your thoughts on ascorbic acid vitamin C versus vitamin C from acerola berry, which is more effective?
Well, go ahead, honey.
Yeah, so the whole food complex for me is always the ideal way to get a nutrient. The nutrients have fulvic acid wrapped around them as part of their design as being a plant. So obviously an acerola berry is going to have all the bioflavonoids and all the other things with the vitamin C. The ascorbic acid is an extracted component of vitamin C, and it's useful when somebody's really sick. So if you're really sick or you want to get rid of some poison and you have to do big doses, I don't think there's enough way to eat enough berries to do that. So you got to go with the ascorbic acid.
Uh-huh. I personally, and I know you have too, made liposomal vitamin C with acerola cherries.
Yeah, I played with that a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I've done quite a bit of that myself, but the thing that you have to be really careful about with ascorbic acid is that it's not made from GMO corn, which most of it is. So, you know, there's some really cool things you can do with moving a virus out of the body really quickly by taking massive amounts of vitamin C. And typically you need to use ascorbic acid to get enough, but we need to really see the source and what are they using to make that vitamin C, ascorbic acid. And there's so much value in the other byproducts of vitamin C from the fruits and things like that. The bioflavonoids, as Rich was talking about, I actually could take separate bioflavonoids for their benefits. So,
well, yeah, and let's just give a shout out to the late, great Dr. Frederick Klinner.
Let's do, Frederick. Hey, Frederick.
Yeah, come on. Let's hear about
Yay,
it, you know.
Frederick.
Yay, Frederick. We love you, Frederick.
The burying of this guy's work why we're in the vaccine problem that we're in today. This guy, Thomas Levy, redid a book on his work, Frederick Klinner's work. It's called Curing the Incurable. And he went through the cases of Frederick Klinner. And this guy, his records show that he had 61 cases of polio that came to his clinic or to the emergency room when he was working there.
Wow.
And all 61 recovered without any paralysis or side effects at all by doing a little vitamin C IV every 6 hours for a few days. This guy knew what to do with vitamin C, and everything that came to him was reversed. Even encephalitis patients who were in a coma, they would do the vitamin C and bring them out of comas. This is the same kind of thing we see with the ultraviolet IV blood treatments, the photoluminescence, which started in the 1930s. at Johns Hopkins and the Mayo Clinic. The fact that we don't know that story is why we even consider vaccinating somebody. If you knew there was a brief natural cure for all of these things, for measles, mumps, rubella, smallpox, rabies, polio, all of these illnesses completely reversed by vitamin C and or ultraviolet, which are easy and inexpensive to do. If we hadn't lost that information, would there even be a vaccine to debate about?
Good job. Yeah. Well said, Doc. Yeah. Yeah, baby. So maybe then if folks didn't have access to IV vitamin C, they could maybe do some of the liposomal, like that product from that Levy likes. What is it? Live On Labs.
Sure.
And Dr. Huggins used to say that's one of the most powerful ones he's ever tried years ago. And you could do something like that, I don't know, maybe every hour or every 2 hours or whatever, and just pony up and see what it does, you know?
That's right. That's what I do. If I start feeling bad, I'll drink an ounce of that stuff every hour.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And I really like the Empirical Labs one the most.
Which one, Meridian?
Empirical Labs.
How do you like, does it taste better than?
It's not just tasting better. It definitely tastes better, but they have a really, you might want to take a look at the science behind how they make it.
You think
and they not only have liposomal C, but they have liposomal CoQ10, and they have liposomal magnesium and liposomal curcumin and resveratrol.
Yeah. Oh, cool. And you like their process better than the Live On product?
Do a lot better.
Empirical Labs. Does it come like in a little gooey package like the Live On and do a gram or?
A bottle.
5 ounce bottle.
Uh-huh. And some of them 5 ounce bottles too. And I mean, they're just much more reasonably priced. And
oh, really? Easy. Oh, great. I wonder if they have them on Amazon. We'll put one in our store if that's the case. I'll check it out.
I think it might have to go through somebody who's, you know, a clinician of some sort.
That's boring. I hate it when they do that. I think that's a stupid, but I am PEI. Empirical Labs Vitamin C. Let me see. How do you spell in Empirical, sweetie?
Empirical is E-M.
Oh, well, I wasn't even close. Okay.
E-M-P-I-R-A-C-A-L.
Hold on. Let's do that again. E-M-P.
I-R.
I-R.
I-C.
I-C.
A-L.
I got it. Empirical Labs Vitamin C. Let's see if they got it.
And in liposomal.
Yeah, they got it.
There you go.
Man, we're going to put this in our store. Here you go. You can get anything on Amazon. Empirical Labs liposomal vitamin C, highest quality proper amounts of phosphatidylcholine. And it's cheap too. Good price. $26. And it's a prime. We'll put that in our store right away and you guys can try. So, I mean, do you know, Meridian, off top, like if you do a teaspoon or tablespoon of this, what you're getting?
It's on the jar. I think it's a half teaspoon is 1,000 milligrams, if I'm not mistaken, but you can take a look and see.
I see. But Doc, in theory though, like with the Live On, Dr. Huggins said, you know, you're getting really a lot more when it's a liposomal, more than just 1 gram, correct?
Oh, yeah, because it goes through the cell membrane easier. The cell membrane's made out of fat.
Yeah.
And so when you coat this vitamin C molecule in the phosphatidylcholine, which is a fat, it slips right through. It's like oil goes to oil. So you get much more inside the cell. And so I would use it in place of the vitamin C IVs. If you're out there at home, keep some around.
Yeah. And we're going to put this in our store. It'll be there in a few hours. You guys can buy some through Amazon or our website. Is there any, y'all, can we say that in Texas? Y'all? Is there any, yep. Y'all?
We do. Y'all?
Y'all? Is there any, y'all? Is there any, y'all? Is there any chance of ODing on vitamin C? I guess you can OD on anything, but I mean, what's a reasonable amount to take of like this liposomal Empirical Labs?
I think you will eventually even get diarrhea with this. Mm-hmm. I have consumed enough mm-hmm. where I did.
He'll drink whole bottles at a time sometimes.
Yeah.
A whole bottle you'll drink?
You can, you know, and I don't think you can hurt yourself like bad because you'll just eliminate.
Yeah.
Things.
Yeah. I've often wondered, excuse me. Go ahead and finish your thought and then I'll ask. Sorry.
I don't have a definitive answer for people. So don't trust what I'm going to say about it for your own body. Learn your own tolerance.
That's the key for everyone.
Yeah. Do you think it's that, or you just don't want to tell people the truth, Dr. Massey?
So with IV,
wait a minute.
You want answers?
Yeah,
I think I'm entitled.
I want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Okay. Well, we can though. So I guess.
So I don't think it applies to oral vitamin C, but
you don't.
IVs, there's an enzyme in the body called G6PD. And if you don't have G6PD, you're not supposed to do vitamin C IVs.
Really?
They can be very toxic.
Really?
And so I don't know if the same thing applies to taking it orally. So just be careful. Mm-hmm. And if you want to read something encouraging, Thomas Levy, L-E-V-Y, the book is called Curing the Incurable. And he goes back through Frederick Klenner's documented work about vitamin C. Jonathan Wright was a big Frederick Klenner fan.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's just so much in there that just makes the soul feel good, Patrick. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, we're going to get, we'll ask Dr. Levy back on and get into that. That'd be fun. I didn't know he's got a book, Curing the Incurable. Oh, man. So what's the mechanism? Like if you do sodium ascorbate, right, which is a nice vitamin C, a little buffered or whatever else, and you do a lot, you've taught us that you do to bowel tolerance, right? You can take a whole bunch until you start getting loose stools and then back off a little bit. So vitamin C will do that. Why doesn't the liposomal do that? Or you're saying if you did enough, it would?
Yeah, so that's just my experience, though, and I don't know how other people would, but the reason the other vitamin C does is because it's not surrounded in a fat.
Ah.
So it stays in the gut. And as long as there's poison for it to bind to and neutralize, it doesn't sit in there like it's going to draw water into the bowel is what it's going to do. And it's going to fill your bowel full of water. It sucks it out. It's like seawater level concentrated stuff. And so when you take the vitamin C and it complexes with a poison, it doesn't have that effect. But as soon as all the poison's been complexed, and you have an extra vitamin C molecule that starts sucking water into that bowel, and you have to go to the bathroom.
Ah. So it's just a different pathway model when it's liposomal, a bit.
Yeah, the liposomal does not sit in your bowel.
Oh, well,
As soon as it finds a cell, it just slips right through it because it's a fat.
Oh.
Yeah,
that's the magic. Yes. That's the magic of it, I guess. Huh?
Yeah, huh?
That's the magic of all the liposomal.
Oh, I see. I always look forward to having you all come together. You all, here's another one. You all, Dr. Massey mentioned that the first time he heard Dr. Thomas Cowan saying that the heart is not a pump, that it angered him. Wow, this is somebody's paying attention. This is from Furman and Minda. I think they're in Australia.
Yeah.
It angered. Can Dr. Massey retell the story that made him turn around to believe that the heart is not a pump? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, that I tell you, it did. I was really upset, you know, because
I remember that.
Yeah. If I count kindergarten and my post medical school training, I went through the 26th grade, Patrick, and that's a lot of years to find out that you're wrong at the end of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that really bothered me. You know, who is this crazy guy who's saying the heart is not a pump? I've actually seen an open chest where it looked like the heart was pumping.
That heart's pumping, dude. What are you? Look at that. Look at that.
Yeah. Look at it right there, you know, and I'd been taught this word pump and I was attached to it. But the funny thing is, he makes a powerful case for how does the blood get back from your big toe back uphill to the heart?
Right.
You know, nobody would ever put a pump in the chest to accomplish that. You'd have to have little pumps in your toes, you know, that push things uphill. And
unless God went to medical school.
Yeah.
Which is probably not the case. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. And I remember just struggling with that. And I can't remember the exact piece that turned it around for me. Uh-huh. I know some of it had to do with realizing the fourth stage of water.
Yeah, the Dr. Pollard thing, right?
You know, where when there's a little protein in the water, it forms a gel. And that gel is what lines all the blood vessels.
Yeah.
And it has an opposite charge to the blood.
Yes.
So it pushes the blood. And it just pushes it uphill, kind of the way sap goes up a tree. That was another big one for me.
Yeah.
Like the tilted bed thing only explains a little bit of the sap going up. If you're talking about some of those really big trees, you have to invoke electromagnetics to push a fluid up against gravity from the roots all the way up to those little leaves in the top.
Getting an opposite charge of what Cowan talks about, right? With the blood and the gel.
Yeah, which is how the bullet trains work in Japan, I'm told. They have little magnets that alternate under them and push them forward. And so that started to make sense to me. And I realized, like, if you've ever tried to like, have a drink that's in a plastic cup and suck it through a really, really long straw, you just can't do it.
Right.
And that's what the blood vessels between the toe and the heart would be like. It would be like a really, really long straw, and there's no way.
It's not going to do it.
It could be sucking that blood up into itself. And in fact, when he pointed out, and I did not want to believe this, but I've seen, and I just didn't want to believe it. When the chest is open, you can see that the blood is entering the heart through that big vein, the vena cava. That blood is traveling just as fast coming in the heart as it is in the aorta going out. If something is a pump, it should be faster on the way out than on the way in. But that's not how it is.
Yeah, he calls it a ram pump. It only, what is it, Doc? It only puts out exactly what it comes in.
Sure. Yeah, and it's more vortexing things than it is pumping it.
Yeah, it's a thing. Wow. Yeah, boy, you know what? Every one of the cardiologists listening today just threw up on their computer.
Yeah. I know.
Just threw up on their computer saying no.
Yes, crazy. And then the recall healing piece was another piece for me.
Yeah.
Like, to hear Joubert talking about the heart and how the top chambers of the heart are the feminine aspect of us because they receive blood, and the bottom chambers of the heart are the masculine part because they eject blood. And he has a course where he goes through all the little deformities that kids have with their heart, the arrhythmia troubles that we can get into, the valvular troubles, and what the family and personal stories are around the heart. I think that also helped a little bit for me to get outside the hypnosis of the medical way of seeing things. And I'm not saying it's a bad perspective. It's just incomplete. You know, it'd be nice if you could look at somebody and say, well, you can look at it as a heart as a pump, and it's so much more too. You know, there would be this nice expansive discussion that could happen.
Yeah.
But when we say the heart is a pump, it's so demeaning. You know, it's just not right to just say that. You know, it's like saying Stephen Hawking is kind of smart. Yeah, it just doesn't do justice to, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's so funny because, I mean, I started many years ago as a Waldorf teacher and was exposed to anthroposophical medicine, and Rudolf Steiner said the heart is not a pump. And when I met Rich, it became really clear to me that I was not the person to ever mention that to him. So it was so cool when it came on video with Dr. Cowan doing such a beautiful description and proof and, you know, geometric story of it all, and the shapes and everything else that have never been acknowledged as far as the cosmic aspects of our heart.
Yeah, I had to study that for a while in his writings. It did not happen overnight, and I apologize to the people emailing in that I can't remember that crystalline moment where it shifted. But it's the same thing as when I was reading in the Recall Healing book about heart attacks being the healing time for the heart arteries, not the disease time. The heart attack is actually the healing part. And, you know, it's that same kind of shock. And I would have to go just sit with that and see, does that make sense with human beings and with animals? And looking at Cowan's stuff over a while, I thought, God, I think this guy's right. There's no way this thing could be pumping blood up from the big toe. I just don't think that can happen.
And also two things that he said just really caught me when I first talked to him. He said, how could it possibly be, you know, when the docs conjecture that the only way the heart gets, the blood is these, what is it, two or three or four? How many is it?
Yeah, there's four chambers.
Four chambers, right? And is there four different inputs and outputs or two?
Yeah, there's four.
There's mm-hmm. four in and four out, right? Well, Dr. Cowan said, how could it possibly be that somebody could do a 26-hour marathon, 26-mile marathon, and at the end, they start to have these pains, and they go to the doctor, and they say, oh, well, you're 95% clogged in all of your things. We need to do a stent.
Yeah.
He goes, how is that possible? He said, he said it's not possible. And that's when he starts to talk about all the coronary arteries that the body in its infinite wisdom makes, because it's seen this dude is clogging up his arteries for whatever reason, right? So we got to keep this thing going, and we're going to put these veins and veins all around, and so the guy won't croak.
Yeah, it's amazing. Pretty amazing stories we tell ourselves, and how much of it is marketing and how much of it is actually real.
Yeah, and then Cowan says, then the tragedy is, if they crack the chest, they break all these extra good guys that the body's been building.
Yes, and then they don't grow as well because of the scarring effect. And that's really sad. You know, just a reminder, when Dr. Hammer opened up the chest of the Great Danes and clamped off one of their major heart arteries, which is like cutting off a third of the blood flow to the heart. It's like throwing a massive clot, yeah, which is supposed to cause a huge and usually fatal heart attack. Nothing happened to the dogs.
Yeah. You can see the video of it.
Nothing happened.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like, what's that about? It's like, how is that blood getting there?
The collaterals grew really fast. It's amazing how miraculous our bodies are.
Yeah. Yeah. They're going to our body's going to do everything at once, to keep this thing going, you know, and that's a beautiful thing to remember for all of us, all of you listening that have all these, you know, we have all these things people tell us we have. Keep telling your body, you're doing great. Every day, every moment, you are healing. You know, and you know, if you got to write that on the fridge and say that a million times during the day, I think it's like so powerful. Because it is. That's what it's doing.
Yeah, it's always healing, and that's what always took me 13 years to see and be able to say when I watched the microscope slides of the blood drying and dying. I noticed that there was a healing pattern on everybody, even people with stage 4 cancer, but I was hypnotized into not saying it. It's like heresy to say that the body is always healed.
Hey, guys, we got 3 hours, but we got one phone call and one more email, okay? Then we'll go.
Okay.
It's like 3 hours and it's time to to eat. Hey, on the phone, who's this, please? Who is this?
Hi, this is Julie. Calling from California.
Hi, Julie. What's up, girl?
Hey.
I just wanted to call in and tell you about a test I had done. I have, I have this chronic fatigue thing going on all the time. I'm always tired. and I'm always trying to fix it. And I do use a CPAP machine at night. So they tested me during after the night and during the day, and I have hypersomnia, which is I go into REM sleep really quickly, even after a good night's sleep. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Sure. Uh-huh.
That's a good thing.
Well, no, they said it's not good.
Yeah, well, they don't know what they're talking about. whenever you go, Julie, hold on. Whenever you go deep enough to REM, that's good. That means you're really relaxing and healing.
I'm talking about after having an 8 hours night's sleep.
Well, maybe you just need more.
Well, come on, Patrick.
No, you come on. Now, wait a minute. You've had sleep trouble for, hold on. You've had sleep trouble for a long time and CPAP and apnea.
I don't have sleep trouble.
All right, okay. But I'm just saying that if the body wants to go into REM, it knows what it's doing. I'm going to stick to that. So you can move on if you want.
Okay, then why am I tired all day?
Well, I don't know, sweetheart. You know, you could have an autoimmune thing. You could have, guys, whatever. You know, you could have something like Dr. Daniels was talking about. You know, maybe you got some infection in your body. You know, what was the thing? She says.
Okay, well.
There's a lot of different reasons, and we're not going to figure it out here on the phone,
No, I understand that.
Yeah.
I'm just calling in to get Dr. Macy and Meridian.
Okay, they're gonna give you their opinion right now.
I don't know if they're familiar with the test they do to test you for narcolepsy, but that's the test I had.
Yeah.
So, honey, were you diagnosed with narcolepsy?
No, he doesn't want to give me that diagnosis because I could lose my license. They did the genetic test, and I don't have it genetically. I don't fall asleep at, just talking to people or that sort of thing. But I would, they'd have me lay down, and within 15 to 30 minutes, I would go right into REM sleep, even after having a good night's sleep. And they did it every 2 hours for all day long.
You don't have that happening during the day. Like I actually have friends with narcolepsy who will be sitting there at a dinner table and all of a sudden their head's on the table. Just that kind of thing numerous times during the day. But you don't have anything like that, right? You just feel tired?
No, I'm just tired. I can have a good night's sleep, wear my machine all night, because I do have severe sleep apnea also, but I can wear my machine all night long, get a good night's sleep, because, I can look on my machine and see how long I slept in that, and then the next morning, I can get up for an hour, and then I'm already exhausted when I've just done my morning chores.
So I'm wondering if you might have some kind of issue with your breathing during the day as well as at night, that the obstruction is not open during the day as well. I mean, I don't know if you've been checked for different, types of infections and things like that might be zapping you.
They do check my oxygen level during this whole testing thing. And because I've asked them if I could be on oxygen, and, they go, oh, no, your oxygen levels are fine. So I don't know. Well, I just, I'm just trying to figure out this whole thing. And I was thinking, the past life healing.
Yeah.
Maybe it has something to do with, this is my theory. My mom had a lot of kids at once. And she needed some of us to be really mellow and not annoying. So maybe I just took on that role
not
in
annoying.
The family.
The not annoying role. That's a good role, Julie.
Actually,
well,
the way biology...
really annoying.
Actually, the way your biology brain works is you have to be the living answer for what was the greatest suffering for your mother when she was pregnant with you and during the first year of your life. So what was her greatest suffering?
Well, I'm not really sure, but I was the first born child, and I know I was very adored until, and then they had my brother when I was two, and he was just like, you know, he was your typical boy, really wild and into everything. So I don't really, and then she had two more kids right after that. So she had like four of us, five and under at one time.
Yes, so one of the things to look at to switch it around, and I agree with, you know, looking at other things besides looking at the sleep issue, but look at this and ask yourself, how is the fatigue serving me and my family system?
I'll work it from that angle, Doc. As a
60-year-old woman?
Yes. How is the fatigue serving me and my family system?
Now or in the past, or when I was growing up?
It's going to be both, because you remember, if I start getting fatigue at age 50, I also had the same program play at age 25, 12 and a half, six and
I've
a fourth.
Had this issue my whole life.
So even in kindergarten.
Well, I mean, I did ask my mother before she died about my energy level, and she said I was always a real low energy person, child, mellow, liked to read. But as I got into like adulthood and that, I've never had the energy level I've wanted to keep up with my peers.
Never.
Or my workmate.
Never, Julie.
Or my husband.
Just your whole life.
Only when I took drugs.
Oh, good. Let's ask something here, Julie. This may be helpful. Is there a way that you guys know that Julie could determine if there's some kind of thing like the syphilis or some kind of deep-seated buggy of some kind, viral or bacterial, that's causing her, you know, this chronic fatigue thing with an immune? Is there some way she could test for that?
There are incredibly expensive tests that can go after all that.
There are ways to find out, and there are so many possibilities, and you know, I don't want to just advertise what I do, but I'm telling you, there's a reason that you're doing this. Your own brain is producing the fatigue on purpose, because it's an answer for some suffering in the family. And if you can find that, because all of us have the exact amount of energy we need, but very few of us have the amount of energy we want. So when we get in tune with what our body is actually trying to do, we can see the wisdom in it. Once we see it, we automatically get more energy.
Julie, honestly, the best thing you can do is to make an appointment with Dr. Massey, and the two of you go in and really dive into your Project Purpose time that he's talking about and your family tree. You'll find answers there.
Yeah, and get adrenal and thyroid function test, obviously. I mean, those are the two energy glands in the body. I would definitely look at those two.
And if you're overweight, we need to talk about that and look at your diet.
Yeah. So there's a way for the suffering to end, Julie. That's all I'm trying to say. If it comes across any other way today, because it's late in the show, I apologize. But there's a way.
I'll give you guys a call. I'll give you guys a call.
Okay. All right, sweetie. Okay. Thanks. Yeah. Bye.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks.
You know, it's been my experience, and I might wake up three or four times a night because I'm having an out-of-body experience, and I want to write it down. So I write, which are called dreams and other things, soul travel. I write it down, and then I go right back, and within, you know, I'm right back into REM. So I think if you can go back in the REM, it's a good thing. It's always a good thing because your body is very sleeping very deeply. So you know, a lot of the Beaker boys, you know, they don't understand sleep and dreams and REM, and because they just repeat what they're taught in medical school. So good luck with that. Okay, final one. My question is about homeopathy. So this one's a Meridian one from Vera. Meridian mentioned before that she uses Fibonacci series of numbers in homeopathy. And I've told this to my doctor, but she doesn't know how to do this procedure. My doctor can make those small white balls, or whatever, carry the frequency, some electrical device. But if she vibrates one ball to have the strength of one, does she have to vibrate the other balls one by one to 144 and all of that? Oh, she's trying to understand. Can you explain a little bit more how this works, Meridian, for Vera?
A lot of shaking going on around this.
Yeah, so you can actually hand make your remedies, but I also use a frequency device to do it. And it's hard to get the Fibonacci series. You have to usually get them from Europe. There's very few people that in the United States make them. But the doctor who developed this work is in New Zealand, and his name is Dr. Joe Rosenzweig. It's quite a last name.
Rosenzweig.
R-O-Z as in zebra, E-N, so the word Zen is right there in the middle, which is perfect for him. C-W-A-I-G. And he's a cardiac surgeon by training.
Wow.
A homeopath, a doctor of Chinese medicine, a doctor of herbology. And he's done all of this work with some of the most amazing kinds of herbs called gemotherapy, which deals with the life force of plants, as well as this discovery that he made having to do with the potency of homeopathic remedies. So she's asking if she can make these potencies herself, or what was it exactly she wanted to know?
Well, she was just trying to figure out if her homeopath who does this stuff could learn how to do this Fibonacci thing that she thinks is cool.
Okay, so the way for her to learn this is to put in that name, Dr. Joe Rosenzweig. And he has classes, and he teaches them online, and he teaches the methods of doing this type of Fibonacci homeopathy. He also teaches what's called organotherapy, drainage, and detoxification, all using those types of remedies I spoke about made with the herbs called gemotherapy. And he also looks at straight herbology, and he looks at regular vitamin-type therapies, but he doesn't do very much with those. His focus is this homeopathy and the gemo and the organotherapies.
Gemo. We love gemo.
Yes, gemos are amazing.
You are into such amazing stuff, Meridian. My head explodes thinking about some of the things that you're into. It's just, I gotta put duct tape on my head, you know, just on my head. It's like, well, wrap it up with tiger tape. I don't know how you do it, girl, but you do a great job with it. You know, you stay on top of it and understand it. I think it's just cool. I think it's great.
It's amazing stuff. My fascination has always been in seeing the connection that we as humans have with the spirit, you know, and the cosmos. And that's what this all about, is seeing the correlation between cosmic forces and human forces and how they're played out in micro and macro levels. It's just extraordinary to me.
That's the only thing that matters, right? That's in my opinion. I think you're onto it. That's the only thing that matters. I mean right? That's the only thing that matters, and that's fun stuff. Well, you guys did great. Look at that, 3 hours and 20 minutes. Come on, man, can't you do better than that? God. 3 hours, 20 minutes, jam-packed.
I had to get something to drink.
What's that?
No wonder I had to go get something to drink.
No wonder. I know. I've been drinking water like crazy. So thanks a lot, guys. We love you very much. We're going to put all of your your info, as we always do on the show page, right? So you're going to have your email, your websites, cell phone number, Skype, you know, your birthday, your sign.
Plug here.
Yeah, whatever you want.
Okay, so our shameless plug is that we've been starting to do YouTubes. So we're starting to actually show people how to do some of the things that we're doing.
Oh, great.
Show you our equipment, show you what the blood looks like that Dr. Massey's doing and the family trees and all this exciting stuff so you'll be able to understand it better. So we'll have half hour, even I think there's even 1 or 2 hour and a half ones. We're just starting to get them out, but you can go onto YouTube and put in Richard Massey or Dr. Massey or Meridian Grace. But for sure, if you put in Awakening Health, we have an Awakening Health channel on YouTube now. And our website is Awakening Health, and all of these will be listed in the media section of our website. So we'd love to get these out there more widely and help to educate.
Do me a favor, Meridian, would you email me a link to the YouTube Awakening Health channel?
And I'll do my best.
Yeah, and we could put, all you got to do is copy and paste it once you get there.
Uh-huh.
And then we'll put that on the show page as well. So people can go right to your YouTube thing.
Okay.
Right from the show page. So that'll be fun.
Yeah.
So Doc, are you getting manicures and haircuts and new clothes for your YouTube stuff? what are you doing? You doing anything special or?
No, he's just being himself.
Yeah, just being crazy you. When you guys going to your music thing? Yeah.
Kerrville starts today, so for everybody who wants to stream the Kerrville Folk Festival, I think that's possible. And it starts today and goes for 18 days.
You guys going down there? Going down to Kerrville?
Next weekend,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Going to visit my girls. It was their birthday. It was also my father's birthday on the 22nd. And it was the day when the most warblers were coming through the backyard. So I took that as a sign.
Beautiful yellow warblers.
It's a sign.
It's really a sign. It's my yellow day, too.
Sure. Well, Meridian, quickly, you had a hawk story that we forgot to ask.
Oh, this was so amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, Rich is such a birder, and he's kind of opened my heart and
mind. Such a what? A birder? I thought you said a burger.
No. Well, he's quite a hunk, too.
He's a burger. Okay.
But anyway, he's kind of opened my eyes to the magic of the whole, animal kingdom, especially the birds and their messages to us.
Yeah.
We have this beautiful, amazing red-shouldered hawk that spends a lot of time in our backyard and on our post, and he's gotten a lot of pictures of it. And but I always think of the birds as being, for Richard.
Yeah, Richard's for the birds. We know it.
Anyway,
nice turnaround there.
Thank you very much. I liked it too.
But anyway, I was going to meet this lovely woman who's has all these very intense Parkinsonian symptoms to bring her some goodies.
Yeah.
And I was leaving the driveway, and as I was driving down the street, the red-shouldered hawk was right at the level of the window of the passenger side of my car and flew with me for about 5 or 6 houses before it flew up into the air. I'm sitting there looking at his gorgeous rusty colored breast and these big, beautiful black and white, brilliant wings. Just like my heart felt like it was almost stopped by the incredibleness of it. And I was so worried he was going to smash into the window. He was that close. I mean, his tips of his wing were practically, in fact, they did at times touch the side of the window. So that was just amazing to experience.
Isn't it wonderful? Yeah, when you have those. Wow.
I
wonder what my totem is or what it means if I have squirrels that hang upside down on the bird feeders. I mean, what is that? What's God trying to tell me? I mean, what's the message there? There's got to be a message.
You're a playful monkey. That's what it is, Patrick.
I took a picture of it yesterday, and I hope it comes out, and I want to send it and put it on the show page. This guy, he's just crazy. So there's something there. It's probably just means I'm from a different planet or something. All right, kids, we're out of here. We have a different, I don't know, Meridian, did you know that we have a different ending song as of about 2 weeks ago for you guys? So you can listen to it. I love you guys. Thanks a lot. Bye. Bye, 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 bye.
Well, she won't give in. She won't crack a smile or a grin. Well, she won't give in. Oh, but she sure is different. Well, it's written in red, all in her eyes. There's no disguise. Well, she lost so much in Tivoli. Together we could go.
Yeah.